Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. While the economic news for the well-off remains upbeat in many respects, it's anything but that for millions of people working in industries harmed by the COVID-19 recession, many of whom were already struggling to get by before things started going downhill. Indeed, as a new report from the North Carolina Budget and Tax Center explains, the pandemic has created an unprecedented economic crisis with widespread job and income losses that have magnified the already extreme racial, gender, and income inequities in our economy. Recently, I had a chance to chat with the author of the report, policy analyst Logan Rockefeller Harris. And as Harris told me, the situation cries out for swift action from state and federal leaders. Well, Logan Rockefeller Harris, welcome to News and Views. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
You have authored a new report that is the state of poverty, really, in North Carolina. It's entitled Persistent Poverty. It's about the state of poverty in North Carolina at this point in the midst of this health pandemic. But it looks back at how we got to where we are and some of the mistakes we've made along the way. Right now, there are an awful lot of people struggling mightily in our state, right?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a report that the Budget and Tax Center produces every year. One of our key issues is reducing poverty, and ultimately we want to eliminate poverty in North Carolina. And we often rely on census data to look at the kind of state of poverty. And what we know is that this year, we really needed more current data to understand what was happening in the context of the COVID pandemic. But what we see is that, there was a long economic expansion that ended with the COVID pandemic, but we really didn't do enough to address poverty during that period. So in 2019, about 1 in 7 North Carolinians was living in poverty. And that had sort of just gotten to the level, the poverty rate that we saw before the Great Recession. So we never got back to sort of a stronger place than that. Yeah. And when COVID hit, of course, hardship has really increased and is widespread. And we could have done much more to address poverty, to create a more equitable economy during the expansion. And now we're in a situation, of course, of, deep economic recession and hardship in terms of families without enough to eat, worried about keeping a roof over their head.
I think that's an important point to emphasize here. The economy, it wasn't like we were struggling in North Carolina on the overall macro level. The economy was growing. It's just that the money wasn't flowing to the people in the bottom and the middle, right? The money was going somewhere else?
Absolutely. So, North Carolina's economy did grow steadily, but especially, with the policy choices that legislators made around tax cuts for the wealthiest people and, stripping away a lot of the safety net programs that actually, support lower income people. What we saw was that in 2019, half of total income in the state was captured by the top 20% of residents, and nearly a quarter of the income was going to the top 5% of richest residents. And, if you look at sort of income growth over the past 10 years, it's relatively stagnant for everybody but the wealthiest people. And so that means that, the folks who are in the greatest need, and particularly when we're talking about people in poverty and people with very low incomes, we did not bolster the safety net programs that would have lifted more people out of poverty.
Not surprisingly, and as it seems to always be the pattern, it's women, people of color, they're the folks who are struggling even more, right? There's like a wage gap in terms of what an average woman of color makes vis-a-vis, say, a white man or even a white woman. Those contributed mightily to the problem, right?
Yes, absolutely. And this is something that, of course, we've seen exacerbated during COVID. Women, communities of color have known for a long time that the economy is not set up for their communities to thrive. And I think that COVID has kind of shone a light on that, made it really impossible for us to ignore. But more women are in poverty than men, about 15% in 2019 compared to 12% of men. And overall, women earned about 83 cents for every dollar that a white man earned in North Carolina. But if we break that down by race, Black women are earning 63 cents compared to every dollar that a white man earns. Native American women are earning 61 cents. Latinx women are earning 50 cents for every dollar that a white man is earning. So that's half as much. And in the context of COVID, again, We've really seen that this recession is worse for women than men in a way that other recessions have not been. You know, the disproportionate family care that women are responsible for has meant that more of them have had to leave the workforce as childcare is unavailable, as schools are closed. And especially for women of color, many of whom are overrepresented in the, you know, sectors that have been very hard hit, like retail and hospitality. It's an extremely uneven recession, not only in relationship to race, which certainly there are strong and major inequities there, but with a very strong, you know, gender dimension as well.
We're talking to Logan Rockefeller Harris, who's a senior policy analyst at the North Carolina Budget and Tax Center, about her new report, which looks at persistent poverty and talks about why it demands a just recovery for North Carolinians. Another aspect to this, Logan, is children, right? I mean, a huge share of children in our state are residing in poverty, probably because a lot of their moms and dads are living in poverty. Those numbers are pretty sobering as well.
Yes. So child poverty is consistently higher than adult poverty. So it's about 20%, you know, looking at children under 18. And it's even higher for the youngest children, who are ages 1 to 5. So about 22% of, you know, young children lived in poverty in 2019. And this is really a crucial issue when we think about kind of mobility and the ability to, like, build a future in North Carolina where everybody can thrive, because we know that childhood poverty can really, it can impact kids' ability to learn. It can impact their cognitive development. And so ensuring policies are, you know, driving assistance to families and to young children, I think, is absolutely crucial. And honestly, the child poverty rates, I think, should be something that every North Carolinian should look at this data and say, this is not acceptable. And what can we do to build a state where there is no child living in poverty?
And I want to ask you about some of those things we should do. But first, we should also point out that when we talk about living in poverty, even the definition we use to define what is poverty is basically an obsolete number, right? I mean, as a practical matter, the numbers of people who are struggling to get by and barely surviving is actually even significantly larger than the number who are, quote unquote, officially living in poverty.
Yes, absolutely. So the federal poverty guideline is sort of an artifact of a variety of decisions people made a long time ago. And it's one income, one number that applies everywhere across the U.S. that doesn't, you know, depend on cost of living. And it was about $25,750 in income for a family of four in 2019, which we can think, you know, anybody can think about that, you know, two parents and two children, and understand that that is a very low income to try to not just survive, but thrive in North Carolina. And previous research that the Budget and Tax Center has done to try to actually understand what a living income is in North Carolina. And, you know, this is an income where people can just meet their basic needs of food, housing, transportation, healthcare, childcare. And that, at the state average, is closer to $53,000 in annual income. So that's more than twice the federal poverty level. And if we look at the people, you know, living below twice the federal poverty level, it's a much higher number. You know, we have about nearly 2 million people who are above the official poverty line in North Carolina, but are still below twice the federal poverty level, and we know are likely struggling to make ends meet.
Yeah, it's a sobering, sobering fact. You alluded to, you know, some things we should do about this. We do have still, although it is threadbare and torn, we have a safety net in our society. And the record shows, the facts indicate that it does make a difference, that we actually know what to do about poverty, you could say, in many respects. The programs that we have in existence that support people living in poverty do make a difference. And part of the problem is just that they're not generous enough.
Absolutely. So we can look at data around how many people are lifted out of poverty thanks to safety net programs like tax credits, like the earned income and child tax credits, like food stamps or like SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, which is sometimes referred to as food stamps, like housing subsidies and direct cash transfers, although that policy has really been kind of stripped of its effectiveness in a lot of ways, it still makes a lot of difference. And so poverty in North Carolina has been halved thanks to these programs. And so while it's still, the numbers are much too high, twice as many people would be living in poverty if we didn't have, you know, state and federal programs to direct resources to people and families. And we know that, those programs also lift even more people out of deep poverty. Deep poverty is defined as half of the federal poverty level, so very, very low incomes. And these programs are crucial for creating more opportunities for folks, and more investment in them would get us a long way.
So we're coming to the end of our time with Logan Rockefeller-Harris, senior policy analyst at the North Carolina Budget and Tax Center. We've talked about how the safety net programs could make a difference. They do make a difference. And indeed, if we just enhanced our investments in them, we could make even more of a difference in attacking poverty. But there's some other stuff that we could do through the enactment of policy changes. We could be, for instance, paying people more in basic jobs, right?
Part of the issue is that there are many people who are working but are still in poverty. So I think that there's an idea, some people have a stereotype that, you know, people are in poverty because they're not working. But North Carolina's minimum wage is equal only to the federal minimum wage, which is $7.25 an hour. And that means that if you work full-time at a minimum wage job, you make a little bit over $15,000 a year, which is certainly far lower than the living income standard. But also, you know, if you're caring for children, it is impossible potentially to rise above the poverty level at a minimum wage job. And so we need jobs, you know, not only that pay a living wage, but also that provide people with sufficient hours, you know, and regular schedules so that they can actually work enough to be able to lift themselves and their families out of poverty. And it's really, I think, a combination of jobs that are dignified and pay well as safety net programs that are there to support people when they are unemployed, or are able, you know, to support people when they're getting skills training, for example. These things need to work together.
The report is entitled 2020 Poverty Report: Persistent Poverty Demands a Just Recovery for North Carolinians. It's available at ncjustice.org, or you can just Google 2020 Poverty Report North Carolina. It'll come up. The author, Logan Rockefeller-Harris, has joined us. We really appreciate it, Logan. It's been great talking to you. Thank you for shining a light on this enormous problem, and we wish you all the best in staying healthy and safe in the months ahead and doing more of this kind of work.
Thank you so much, Rob. It was my pleasure.
Coming up next, we'll hear from the State Health and Human Services Secretary and the Mayor of Greensboro about why we are now entering the most critical phase in the COVID-19 crisis. Don't go away.